When people understand their relationship with God, the transformation in their lives reflects the abundance mentality, as in the case of the following sister, related by a missionary in her area. A few months after arriving in the city we were tracting, and the man who opened the door said, "Oh yeah, I know who you are." We immediately thought, he's going to think that we're Jehovah Witnesses, because that's what everybody always thought we were. He said, "You're the Mormon elders, aren't you? My sister belongs to your church." When we told him that we knew her, he said, "I only have one question for you. I really don't have any interest in joining your church, but I want to know something. What have you done to her?" Of course, we had no idea what he was talking about. He said, "Well, you didn't know her before she joined your church." And he told us a story right there at his doorstep, the story of a woman who had no interest in raising a family, who thought it was her duty to raise the kids, but did not want to be involved in their lives. She was a chain smoker and had absolutely no concept of who she was, not even a value system of taking care of herself. Her hair was unkempt, and she would go to the store in her sweats or her nightgown. She did not even care about herself or her home. I could not believe this, because the sister I knew was a beautiful woman. Her hair was always in place, and she was dressed immaculately when she came to church. She didn't have the money to buy expensive clothes, but she cared for the ones that she did have. When we went to her home, it was spotless. So with that background, I approached her and I said, "You know, we ran into your brother." She said, "Oh, what did he tell you?" I said, "Well, let's just say that there's been a magnificent transformation." And I asked her to tell me about it. She told me, "It's when I found out who I was. I am a child of God. Why shouldn't I be a queen on this earth? I have to live up to this reputation." A light had turned on for her, and even her living environment changed. She decided that she wanted her home to be an abode where a child of God would live. When she understood who she was, she knew that her children were also children of God. They were married by that time, but she wanted to be involved in their lives. She wanted to influence them as a giver of light. Her attitude changed from "what's in it for me" to "I'm here for you." This is the end of the story from this missionary. In working with the scarcity-abundance continuum over the years, I've learned that just having an awareness of it is like being halfway toward overcoming the scarcity mentality. The other half is achieved through applying the power of the gospel and practicing abundance thinking and skills. But it's been amazing to see the almost immediate impact of simply becoming aware of the almost universal, deep-seated tendency toward scarcity thinking and the almost universal, deep-seated capacity for abundance thinking. It's almost as if we had assumed that scarcity and comparison-based thinking are just the way things are. But the moment we make that assumption explicit and challenge it by looking through a gospel lens, we are introduced into a new, exciting, expanding worldview. Reflecting the divine mirror. Again, you and I are God's own children. We have infinite potential, infinite worth, and we should not compare ourselves with others in any way on the basis of status, position, appearance, fashion, or any of the world's value systems. All of these systems are false sources of self-definition, and we are surrounded by them. We live in a media-saturated world that continuously tries to define who we are. Unless we counteract these false scripts, they become deeply planted in our hearts and minds, and also in the hearts and minds of our children. When I was teaching at Brigham Young University, I frequently asked my students to test their self-perception. On the left side of a paper, they wrote down how others perceive them, starting with their families and working down through friends, teachers, and so on. On the right side of the page, they wrote down how God saw them, based on what the scriptures, the prophets, the atonement, and their patriarchal blessings said. At the bottom of the page, they were to answer the question, "How do you perceive yourselves?" Invariably, 2/3 of the students saw themselves based on the social, not the divine mirror. One way we can counteract this kind of social conditioning is to reflect to each other the divine mirror that was given to Joseph Smith in the Sacred Grove. That is, in addition to bearing testimony of God, Christ, the prophets, and the Restoration, we can bear testimony of people and who they really are. We can look into the eyes of our children or others and say, "You are God's own child. You are of infinite worth, and you have divine potential." The psalmist once asked God why he was concerned with us mortals at all. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Then he gave the answer, "Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." As mortals, we are just a little lower than the angels, but in fact, we and the angels potentially have the same divine state.